I feel blessed. I hope you do too. If not, we might have to check your pulse. Good morning, good morning, good morning. I just am so grateful to be in the house of the Lord. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Yes? I'm grateful for Reverend Sylvia, our senior minister, knowing that she continues to grow and unfold in her healing process and that she continues to be at peace, knowing that we are sending her love and we are taking care of each other. Yes? Yes. Amen. So, again, good morning. And so what I'd like to do is to welcome you to the service this day, both those who are here in person as well as those who are in cyberspace. We feel your presence both in the pew and through the internet, for we know there is no separation in God. And so as we move through this particular program, I want to invite those of you who are online to put your email address in the chat, and our wonderful chat hostesses and hosts will provide you with the answers to your questions and also greet you and give you what you need to feel like you're welcome here. This is for Yvonne. Hot Caribbean nights follow hot West Indian days, where the sun's beams light make you lazy from its rays. And the marketplace fumes stir hunger for some cane that you peeled and suck on in the summer rain. And your sandals start to hurt because you're walking down the road and the boys want to flirt. And you put down your load and you go to the beach to feel a cool breeze from the blue waters reach and the waves do tease. And you sit down a while beside a big goat. And you can't help but smile. Then you start to float as your mind takes you to a beautiful view, because you know that soon come some patties and some rum, where you'll dance to the beat and your blood will start to heat to the reggae rhythm sound. And you look all around and you see no frown as the steel drums pound throughout the town. As your feet do leap and your boogie won't keep and you're feeling a heap and your juices start to seep, but you know you won't weep because your joy is mighty deep and you know you're gonna reap because the feeling's so steep till you wake from your sleep. And you know that hot Caribbean night soon come. I've been a thespian long enough to hold for applause. I know to do that. I had one of our young adults, I guess young is relative, depending on how you are in your process of life, said, well, you know, we need to hear more poetry in the pulpit on Sunday. So I can accommodate. I got volumes of poems. But the other day when I thought about this talk, I was thinking about the song that changed my life. It popped into my head. It does that from time to time. I used to think God was the sun. God is the sun. But God is so much more than the earth or the stars or all of creation. God is creation all and all. And of course, that's Use Me by Michael Beckwith and Ricky Byers Beckwith. So I spent about half of this past week at Unity Village presenting at the International New Thought Alliance as a keynote. And yes, eyeballing what I need to know for celebrating our soul, consciously creating change. And yes, it's something I've been promoting for a while. They were supposed to run the virtual ad, but they ran the late registration ad. The registration is not available for in-person seating. We're sold out in terms of seats. And so you can get a virtual registration card in the lobby area, and they will that'll get you to see one of our own who's presenting. Mr. Miko Whitlock is doing a virtual offering, and it's on self-care, so you might want to come just for that. I'm just saying. 'Cause who doesn't need self-care? So God needs us to shine his light as me, as you. I wanted to tell you that I came up with this talk title a few days ago, and all I could think of was hot. I was just hot. I could barely think. I was so hot. And the last time I remember being so hot and not being able to get out from under the heat was several years ago when I was having hot flashes. And yesterday I decided to look up the meaning of hot flashes. According to thriveglobal.com, hot flashes serve to remind a person that they are midway through this life cycle, and it acts as a spiritual catalyst to take stock of one's life, see where you are, where you have been, and what you would like to create, change, or contribute, because time is going by fast. All right. What can I create? I've been creating stuff all my life. I started writing when I was a kid. I've been creating. I've been performing. I've been directing, producing. But the next question is, what can have lasting value long after I'm gone? Well, that depends on who and what I'm putting first. Showing love is more important than accumulation, or what many people consider success. But there are people who are only focused on accumulating, aren't there? Some people think that they can control an external condition. Old thought religion says success means a good job with great pay. What do you say success is today? Have you thought about it? When I was at Unity Village to give my talk, it was on eternally unfolding love. Because sometimes we just rely on our affiliations or associations or past successes to sustain us. But unless and until we are willing to have a new thought, we will just be hot. And instead of flashes of light or enlightenment, we are simply relying on the outer effects and have lost any sense of meaning God is giving us. We can get distracted and or depressed by the events in the world, the environment, global warming, a viable presidential candidate, the efficacy of a political party, the agenda of a nefarious foe, and so on and so on. This is just a season. It's not only election season, it's summer. And it's not the only season. We must prepare for the winter in the summer. Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 8 says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which, having no guide, overseer, or rules, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest." And I was reading that the other day, and I remembered, and this is like 27 years ago, late 90s. We're laying up there and notice that there is this whole string of ants that are going around the ceiling at the edge of the walls. And in the lead is what my partner at the time named Hazel, and would say, "Look at Hazel, look at Hazel." And they're carrying crumbs of food as big as them or close to. And you know, maybe there was 100 of them, I don't know. But if an ant can prepare for famine and lead an army of ants to victory, why can't we? So I'm remembering purposeful ants from 27 years ago. When they look at us 27 years from now, will they say that we're as smart as ants? Two words, hot and summer. Some believe that there is a metaphysical connection between the heat in the body and our thoughts, emotions, and reactions. Some people believe that the body may flush heat in response to embarrassing incidents, memories, or thoughts. But let's move away from the bodily heat for a moment and think about spiritual heat. The Jewish Torah consists of a code of law that governs the body or the physical life of humans, as well as law for the soul, the inner dimension that addresses our spiritual selves. It says that prayer is the height of intimacy with our Creator. In fact, prayer is so sacrosanct that even if a snake is coiled around your heel, you should not interrupt your prayer. I know some of you say, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to be out of here. But the Talmud qualifies this by saying the snake's venom is not life-threatening, but there's a distinction between a snake and a scorpion. And this really isn't about political candidates. I'm just saying. A snake injects a person with a burning poison, while a scorpion's poison is cold. The Talmud sees the burning poison is the heat and passion of earthly desires, and the poison of coldness is an apathy, which leaves a person indifferent to everything, material and spiritual. Yuck. So you can imagine that we may recognize these traits, or we may think about these traits and wonder how we show up in the world. Now, Abraham was surrounded by idol worshipers, but Abraham came to recognize divine truth. He passionately and devotedly served what he was taught to regard as worthy of worship. But then he matured into a desire for God. Because remember, there were stones and stuff that they were worshiping, right? So he placed himself in God's hands, and he asked God to guide him to the truth. And so I'm inviting us to do that as well, to place ourselves in God's hands and ask God to guide us to the truth. If your prayers are threatened by the frigid poison of a scorpion, interrupt your prayers. The icy sting of indifference is threatening, and you must conduct a full assessment of your spiritual life. If you find yourself indifferent somehow, please go within and examine your connection with your source. Nothing holy can come from spiritual coldness. Psalm 74:17 says, "Thou hast set all the borders of the earth, thou hast made summer and winter." Right? And so we have different seasons. And so while the earth remaineth, Genesis says, sea time and harvest and cold and heat and day and night shall not cease. So I just think it's interesting that it says while earth remaineth. I'm like, what do they mean by that? Right? So in this dimension, as long as this dimension is our experience, then think about what it is that we are doing in the summer and what we're doing in the winter. Proverbs 10:5 says, "He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame." Because clearly there was only one gender at that time. Anyway, are you sleeping or are you gathering? And this is really not about activity. This is really about examining our thoughts. It's about examining our values. It's about examining our intentions. Because it, you know, you can go and do whatever you do in a voting booth or a computer machine or whatever it is, but that is not the all in all. There's an energy that we are all exerting. There's an energy that we are all exuding. There's an energy that we are all able to be in touch with on a moment by moment basis. I look at the news, but I don't dwell on the news. And so I notice particular characters. I pay close attention to particular characters who have the appearance of having an influence over my life, right? And I notice when there are changes, subtle or otherwise, and I did notice a little bit of a shift in one of them. And I thought, interesting that there is somehow a humility that's in there somewhere. And I noticed that, and I thought, thank goodness, because there would be no way of knowing from the bravado that goes out. And so I think about what it is that we're gathering in our life's journey. Not necessarily a season as, you know, 90 days, but what are we gathering in this journey? Are we just moving through this season to get to the end of the season? Or are we really taking advantage of everything that this season has to offer us in terms of growing? Not only growing in height or width, right? But growing in consciousness. And so what are we sowing? And what do we want to reap that we're planting in this summer of our lives right now? This may be the active part of your life while you still can physically do stuff, not that your mind won't go, but if this was your only moment, what would you use your mind to do right now? What would you harvest right now? What would you plant right now? So I get that that may sound heavy in terms of that's too much pressure, Reverend Celeste, just back off a little bit. But it's important because we are not here by accident. That we are here by divine design. That each one of us has something to contribute to this thing called life. That each one of us has an energy that we bring into every space that we go into. Everybody likes to use that word nowadays, space. I think I'm going to have to just do something on space. It might even be a chapter in a book. I don't know, but space seems to be the word, right? But because people refer to space because they feel some kind of way when they enter into someone's presence, or they feel some type of way when they enter into a certain kind of building, right? I hope when you walk into this space that you feel the intention of love and expansion. Right? And so I hope that when you leave this space that you bring wherever you're going, none of my business, love and light. Because why else would we come to a space except to get love and light and to bring love and light? Like, because we're individualized expressions of God. We're not simply human beings or human doings. You know, even Hazel knew that she had a purpose. Y'all remember Hazel, that's the lead aunt. Just keep up, okay? Keep up. So, let's talk about fun now. The Bible did not have fun in the concordance, but it had merriment. I'm like, cool, I can work with merriment, right? So, Proverbs 15:13 says, "A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken." I kind of had to check myself. I mean, I do different videos for different things, you know, promoting different things, and I was promoting, you know, that thing that's happening next month, in case you're tired of hearing Celebrating Our Soul. I assembled these people, and I, you know, different people are doing different things, panelists and speakers and teachers and all of this stuff. And so we're in this conversation, and it's live. And I'm thinking, I don't smile the whole time that I'm there. I'm serious. This is about business. This is what we want to represent. But I'm like, wow, how was that inviting to anybody, right? And for me, I had to look and say, okay, that's an interesting energy that you're carrying, because you know, you invited these people because they have substance. And so at the same time, we were giving more love off camera than perhaps, well, I was giving more love off camera than the others were on camera. And I thought, wow, okay, this is good to know, because who else would tell me that if I didn't see it for myself, right? And so merriment, is it cheerful or joyful, gaiety, a mirth, a hilarity, a laughter, right? And so there's all of these opportunities that we have to have fun in life. And we may miss the opportunity because we're so focused on something else with a different objective, with a different intention to make sure that you accomplish that task. But how do you leave people feeling? I mean, this is me checking me. Ain't me checking you. You check yourself. Okay? So I'm just saying, James 5:13 says, "Is any among you afflicted?" I was like, whoa, afflicted. And so it means hardship. Well, yeah, I might feel afflicted sometimes. I might feel like it's rough sometimes. I might feel like it's a struggle sometimes. You know, but do I carry that struggle into every place that I go? Because how am I of any earthly good if all I'm doing is bringing you more hardship? And so not only check yourself before you wreck yourself, check yourself before you wreck somebody else. I'm just telling you, as I learn stuff, I like to share stuff because I'm a teacher. That's what I do. So it says, if you are afflicted, let us pray. Let us pray. I stop and drop. And sometimes it'll be just a word. I mean, you know, grace will just come in my head. Okay, thank you. Thank you. And so Psalms gives us a clear picture of God. It talks about the life of Christ in the future. It talks about balancing theology with emotions. It talks about balancing justice with evangelism. Sometimes evangelists are really funny. I'm just going to go off on a little tangent. But, you know, they will try to make you feel bad to bring you to God. I'm just like, why? Like, why is that necessary that you need to tell somebody that they're the sinners and the scum of the earth in order to get them to go to God? It's like, I don't think that's the kind of place I want to hang out at if that's where you go. Right? And so it's important for us to really exude the kind of joy that we want everybody else to know when we want them to come to God. Because I think about some of these Psalms are so poignant, they are so rich and so clear. You know, and it brings the personal together with the collective, because we're not islands, that we have impacts on each other, that we have not only the energy that we carry, but the impact that we have on their lives. And so when you look at this merging of justice with evangelism, then perhaps you can really allow the grace to come into your energy, the grace to come into your conversation, particularly if you're trying to introduce someone to our church, right? And to say, you know, I want to shorten the duration of your emotional injuries. Now, nobody talks like that, right? But they should feel like that when you leave them. I want to shorten the length of your emotional injuries. Everybody just says, I love you. God bless you. But what's behind that? Other than what you want to project energetically. Are they feeling that their injuries are being shortened by your presence? So we can talk about those people who are running for office and what they lack and what they should be doing and all of that. But when it comes down to it, we get to ask ourselves in this season, am I growing in this season? Am I laying the groundwork for a full life in my future days? Am I laying the groundwork for my neighbors, my brothers, my sisters' future days to be freed up from emotional energy? I may not be able to go into a surgery room and relieve them of a malady that's happening in one of their limbs or one of their organs, but good comes from the heart, according to Proverbs. Good comes from the heart. And, you know, merriment can be restorative, right? I'm an adamant believer in restorative justice. And what I know about restorative is that it heals the pain while seeing the person as a human being, as a living being, as a necessary being, right? And when we can navigate through life bringing that kind of energy, I'm going to call that hot fun, right? I'm going to call that hot fun because I feel like when you participate in the transformation of someone's life in a beneficial way, that it's not about false optimism, but it's totally about our willingness to love. Not the word love, not the mouthpiece love. And so I'm just knowing that we can be in our joy, because I don't know about you. When people come to me and they tell me that I've been a blessing in their life, I am so humbled. I was humbled the other day. I was, you know, about to give my talk, and all these people who I've known for years were running around setting me up for success, and I just started feeling myself crying. I was like, whoa, they want me to succeed. And just recognizing that in that moment, I almost got like a lump in my throat before my talk, right? And we have to notice when someone is giving the energy to us that lifts us, that makes us feel relevant. You know, let's just talk about being relevant. It's not about the resume, because in the end, if someone left your presence feeling like something under their shoe, then I don't want to resonate that way, right? And so it's important for us to know that this is a season for being on fire for God. You can call it election season if you want to, but unless we're on fire for God, it don't matter who's up the hill. It don't matter who's in the Congress. Unless we're on fire for God, then we can't impact the air that is around these people who are making decisions about our lives. You know, people say, ooh, that must be interesting, because people I haven't seen since I've been here. Ooh, what's that like to live in Washington, D.C.? And I say, when I take a certain route to work and the Capitol is in front of me, I send light. And they're like, thank God, we knew you would, right? And so I'm inviting us all. I mean, I know you could probably be jaded at this point for those Washingtonians who hold that moniker proudly and can tell me how many generations have been here in Washington. But What is really essential is, what is the energy that you are willing to give to your beloved hometown? And that can go all around the planet, because somebody from everywhere is up in this mug, right? And so I'm just inviting us to look at the summer as being a time of growth, and look at the summer as being a time to be on fire for God, and look at the summer as a way to enjoy doing both. And that's all I have to say. Namaste.